back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven
and Kyle.
And we are running the gauntlet tonight, trying to knock out as many episodes as we can.
And it's rough.
Yeah, we're kind of winding down, so.
Doing four episodes, five episodes a night is not easy.
Yeah, we're not good at doing one episode a night.
That's right.
So, this one's going to be a little different. We had such a good response from the last call-in episode, where you leave us your voicemails and your text messages, that we're going to do it again because I like it.
Same.
And Kyle likes it. And it's our podcast, so we do whatever the fuck we want to do.
Even though you don't like it.
And me?
No, people. Them.
They did like it. That's why they blew the phone up.
I don't believe it.
Which is another reason why we're doing it, because once that episode dropped, you guys came through and started hammering the phone out, which is cool. It's exactly what we wanted you to do because we want to get the weird out. And hopefully one day we can start taking like live calls in and make it almost like a call. We can have like call-in nights where it's a radio show and it's just this whole conglomeration of weird shit. Because that's what we're about.
All right.
But before we get into that, check us out at all our social medias. I'm not even going to go through the whole spiel because you guys know it already.
Yeah.
If you want to get us a paranormal encounter that we can share in a future episode, you know how to do that too. Thank you to our Venmo supporters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Thank you to everyone who takes the time to write an encounter in. And thank you to everybody who leaves us a beautiful five-star rating and review.
Absolutely.
You guys keep us afloat. We love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From the bottom of our wretched black hearts.
Yes. So, that being said, we're going to dive into some of these voicemails.
No, I'm going to read this
text
message.
We're not going to dive into these voicemails because Kyle is going to read the text message.
I'm going to read this text message.
Kyle's
then we'll start
read
the voicemail.
This text message.
It's I've read a little bit just now and it's fucked up.
Is it too wicked?
It's too wicked.
I'm going to start making Hollow Sky stickers that say too wicked.
I love it.
It's going to be the number 2 and then it's just going to be WIKKET, too wicked.
I love it.
As you can tell, we're just running on pure monster energy at this point.
Hell yeah. So, I wish I could drink another one.
There's some in there.
I don't know if that'd be good.
What is good? Who decides
That's a good question. I'll contemplate it.
Okay, back.
All right,
back
so
to it. Here's our first text message on the Hollow phone.
Yeah. It says, Steve and Kyle, I enjoy listening to the podcast. I experienced an event when I was approximately 13 years old, give or take. This event came back to me due to a memory recall. Anyhow, it started very early in the morning, and it was during the summertime. I awoke instantly and stood up. Directly in front of me was a small white extraterrestrial being. It came up to my chest and was pure white. I was in a trance-like state. I wasn't experiencing fear or any type of emotion. I was just aware of its presence in front of me. It led me to its craft about halfway there, 30-ish yards, in my backyard. It communicated to me in mind speak. It told me that its partner had become sick and died and he needed me to bury his partner.
What?
Yes. A side note was that everything was dead silent during our walk to his craft. The craft was approximately 60 yards from my house at the edge of the woods. When we reached the craft, it was a brilliant silver. Weirdly, it emitted a light that was only noticed while being close to it. Even during our walk, I did not notice the craft until we were right on it. The craft was open. The best way to describe it is like Pac-Man. When its mouth is open, except rather than 7 to 11 o'clock, it was more like 9 to 11 o'clock, if this makes sense. I walked around to the other side of the craft and reached in to remove the dead alien. I noticed its arms were losing its white pigment. It sort of looked like the way jellyfish look when they're dead on the beach. The interior of the craft was just large enough to hold two beings of their size. There was no way I could have sat in that vehicle. I removed the being and started to follow the other being. About a few yards away from the craft, the craft communicated with me. Not in mind speak, but more like a deep feeling. I really can't explain the way it did, but I knew it was the craft. It communicated to me that it was sick as well. Anyhow, that's all I can recall. I don't want to embellish this experience in any way. Just lay it out the way it came back to me. I absolutely know in my heart this was not a dream. I've had many dreams about UFOs and know how to distinguish between reality and dream state. In 2016, my wife and I were returning from Costa Rica. I had a window seat and she was in the middle seat, and we were seated at the wings and were above the clouds, and incredibly, the same type of craft passed so close to the wingtip. Had I been sitting on the end of the wing, I could have touched it. Both of us saw it, and had one of us blinked, we would have missed the flyby. The first event took place in Pottawatomie County, Virginia. Thank you, Eric.
Bro. What?
He's burying aliens, yo. Yeah.
Hold on.
That's where I'm at. I started reading just a little bit of that, and I go, okay, we're reading this one.
Let me process this. So he did bury the body of the extraterrestrial.
He doesn't specifically say, but he did grab it out of the craft.
What?
And it started to lose its pigment.
This is awesome.
It's
okay, Eric.
Fuck.
I need you to remember. Well, first thing I need you to do is text us back. And then let us know if you buried the alien, and then come back around and let us know where it's at.
Yeah, we'll go find it.
That way I can go and make sure that it's there.
It might get a little awkward because it's going to be in somebody's backyard.
I do not care. I will dress up as an Ameren employee, and I'll be like, I'm looking for gas lines out here.
We're just digging, we're looking. We're
checking. This is absolutely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I started this podcast. This is what I needed to hear tonight. I don't even know. Like, I was in it.
I don't know that I've ever heard of small white beings like this.
Well, it could be a gray.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's only 3 to 4 feet tall.
For sure.
You know? Which, if they're sick and losing pigment anyway.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
And like the Hopkinsville goblins, they were small, kind of silverish.
Yeah, but they ain't flying UFOs. No,
maybe they are underground.
That's true.
But I am, bro.
That was a good one.
This is awesome. I'm just, let me take a second here and just kind of.
Your brain has done gone off the rails.
It did. It fractured. Like, I was in it when he said it was standing there right in front of me. And then when it started communicating that it needed help, and when he said it needed me to bury its counterpart, I'm like, what?
Hold up.
What? Dude, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. And the fact that the ship was communicating with him, that it was also not in good shape, almost like the ship was a biological creature in its own right.
That's not the first time I've heard that theory, that the ships are living creatures.
Yeah.
Or a biological entity, anyways.
Dude, you have to get back a hold of us. I'm sure Kyle will send you a text message, but I don't even know. Like, I'm not prepared.
Yeah, go dig it up.
I'm not prepared for this kind of weird.
Dig it up and mail it to the P.O. box.
I thought I was. Like, this is where I want this to be. But now it's here and I'm just like,
what do I do?
How do I respond to this?
I'm new. I don't know what to do.
I love it. Oh, my God.
It is fascinating. I hope
it is real.
Well,
to me, it's real.
Right. It would make me wonder, though, if... I wonder if when it was losing its pigment, if he noticed organs and a skeletal structure. Because what if it was more like a jellyfish and it didn't even have a skeletal structure?
Yeah, it could be like an
insect. Then there would be no body. Left. Yeah, there would be nothing to dig up.
Yeah, which is weird. Why would you bury it if there wasn't going to be anything left anyway? I guess to hide it for the time being.
Well, there's that, and then it could
like
be...
Like an insect has an exoskeleton.
It could be a ritualistic thing.
Maybe it was trying to mimic our cultural... Dude, I love it. Thank God for the fucking holophone.
It was a good idea.
Dude, Eric, that was I don't even have words, bro.
It was sick with it.
How long ago did this happen? Did he state that? He said he was 13. I don't know him. I don't know how old he is.
Probably been a little bit. Yeah. At the very least, you should probably go back and see if it's still there. If it's still there, mail it to our P.O. box, and we will put it in the same case with the haunted doll.
Dude, I don't even know. That is so dope. That is such a dope story. Such a dope encounter.
We've never had a story like that before. I can tell you that much.
I feel like Art Bell's listening and he's like, run it, boys. Run it.
This is what we're here for.
I don't know, man.
Like I said, I got to that. I didn't even get to that part. I just got to the part skimming through it and saw the all white creature approaching him. I'm like, we got to talk about it.
I don't even know where to go with that. That is so sick. Was that your first encounter with extraterrestrials? I guess.
Good question.
It's happened afterwards. I don't know.
Your brain's done. It's fried.
It is. The very first story has just cracked my brain in half. I fucking love it.
I know. God. And we have 11 voicemails.
Starting this podcast was the best idea you've ever had.
Thanks.
Because I need more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we need GPS coordinates.
To the location of the burial.
Yeah.
We need... Dude, that is so awesome.
It is mind-numbing to think.
So awesome.
And if it's little and fragile, it's not going to be able to hold a shovel.
No, he had to have help.
Yeah.
I mean, he just traveled...
kind of a little out of
a billion light years.
Maybe he was in the neighborhood.
Could have been. Maybe he crashed the ship, which is why the ship was fucked up, which is why his homie died, you know?
So he was a really bad driver.
After we got to the point to where he grabbed the arm, my brain just kind of went out. Like, did the ship take off after that? Did I miss that part? Did he tell us that part?
No.
I don't even know.
I do that too while you're reading in the mic. I get stuck on a sentence and my brain just blocks out everything else you read. Then I go, oh shit, I have no idea what's going on.
Especially if it's something so like when he said, I need help burying my friend, I got hyper focused. And then when it went to the point to where he actually touched the alien, I'm like, that's it. That's it.
Game over.
Holy shit.
I would be...
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know what's happening.
People are burying alien bodies out of respect. I wonder if he was going to have to bury the ship.
I don't know.
Because then the other little alien is fucked.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere. It's weird that he couldn't see the ship until he was right on top of it.
Which is probably it's probably a safety thing,
I'm sure.
A defense mechanism. Once the little dude realized that he wasn't gonna try to harm him or try to hurt the ship, he's probably like, "All right, you're cool. You're here to help, so I'm gonna."
And you ain't fitting in my ship anyways because you're way too big. Yeah. So
he's like, "Okay, we can do this, dude." That is weird.
Just give me a hand, yo.
Holy shit, that's weird. I love it. I love weird shit. God damn.
All right, so with that, we are going to go into...
I don't even know.
We are going to go into the first new voicemail.
Sick, too so, wicked.
Here we go.
Hey, Hollow Sky Podcast. This is Jason Hall. That's how you'll know me from Discord. I haven't been in there in a while. I miss it. I just listened to your first listener episode. Really enjoyed it. And I thought I'd call in with a couple of things. I've kind of talked about them in Discord before, but just kind of wanted to talk to about them here. So this is how it starts. When I was a baby, this is 1976 at the time. My mom said that I was a baby, and she was with a guy in his car, and they were driving down the road, and there was a bright light in the sky. You know, following them. I think she was maybe 10 or 20 minutes. I can't remember. They kind of, they followed them, and they were trying to find out where it was coming from, and they could figure it out. And that's basically all she knows about that. I haven't ever asked her about missing time or anything that might be with that. So that part, I don't know. I know that might be a question you'd ask. Then as I got older, I was never allowed to watch horror movies or anything like that. So that wasn't something that I had any kind of recollection of. I didn't have any kind of, I guess you'd say, reference to make up something scary. And I was pretty young. And I would see these figures in my room, like shadow figures is the best I can describe them. One of them even looked like my neighbor at one time. I don't know why I thought that. It just kind of looked like, I guess, maybe her outline. And but like they had an axe. I don't know if they were raising it to hit me or something. But I would always see those shadow figures in my room at night. And I would be so scared to call out to my mom. And so that was a little bit of that. But also, I would have this dream, and I had it so many times as a kid. And in that dream, there would be beings that would enter my room that I could not see. They were invisible. And they would drag me out, or they would drag people in my family out of the room or out of the house or whatever. And it was terrifying as a child, literally terrifying to dream that. Like I said, I did not see anything. They were invisible. And I would be so upset for days afterwards because it just scared me so bad. And then, also as a child, there were three instances when I was outside. And I even remember as a child looking, well, first I'll say this, I heard my name called, just plain as day. They said, Jason, just like if somebody was speaking to me, but not yelling or anything like that, but just like they were saying my name. And I was, even in the mind at that time, to look around me to see, was there anywhere anyone could be hiding? And there was nowhere where I lived. I was born in Missouri, but I was raised there in the Ozarks. While there's a lot of forest around where I was at, there was no trees, and there was nothing that anyone could hide behind. And so I heard that in three different times. I heard someone call my name, and every time it scared the crap out of me, and I just took off running after I looked around. And then from there, I also had this weird memory, and I describe it like a memory, but I don't even know if it's a memory. If there's a place that I can think or see in the woods, and it's kind of like a dome-shaped building, and I don't know if it's a memory or if it's not a memory. I don't remember exactly what's inside of it. It's just like I get flashes of this place, and I don't know for sure if it's even real. And I don't know why I would have this memory, or I call it a memory. I don't know why I would have this in my mind. So I pick up from where I was talking. So I don't know why I have that memory, or not memory, or whatever it is, because, like I said, I don't know why I would remember that or make it up to be a memory. And after that, as I got older, as an adult, I'll say, I've had several dreams. And one of them, I can remember, when I was married, I remember dreaming that me and my wife at the time were in this house. And there was, if I could explain it, was there was a craft outside, and that craft had a light that was shining around to look for us. And as it was shining, the light, it was almost like the ground was being sucked up towards it, kind of like if the ground was just a blanket, and you could raise it. So it was almost like it was doing that with the ground, and it was shining a light into the windows. And I knew at that time that it was aliens looking for us, and they were trying to find us. Also, I've had just several other dreams of things in the sky falling out of the sky. Before drones were a really big thing, I dreamed about like thousands of drones in the sky just automatically falling at once, all of them together in unison, falling out of the sky. That's before, like I said, before drones were a really big thing. Just always a dream not long ago of some kind of craft over San Diego that was exploding in the air. It was crazy. I do have very vivid dreams and weird dreams when I remember them. And so I was going to share those things. I did share that before on another podcast and on the Bump podcast. And Bo and I were talking, and he kind of started tying it all together and thinking, this sounds like me had alien experiences even as a child. And I thought, wow, that's not something I want to hear, but it's a possibility, I guess. And I think Kyle and I may have talked a little bit about that in Discord before. But I just wanted to share it here. And if you have any questions, feel free to call me. I'd be willing to talk about anything. Just like I said, feel free to call me back. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the podcast. I love it. You guys are amazing.
Jason, thank you so much for sending that in, man. There is a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm completely on board with the fact that you may have been experiencing extraterrestrial encounters probably your whole life, man.
Yeah.
You, as you said, when you were a baby, the lights in the sky. I don't know if they're able to, like, probably don't want to hear it like this, but mark people. But you hear a lot of stories of people that deal with this kind of stuff all their life. And it's just, I don't know, the way you described it is so terrifying and so vivid. Like you saying that you saw the beings in your room, and when you said one of them took the form of your neighbor, it just makes me, it's like Kyle says before, it's screen memories. It's making you as comfortable as you can be while this is going on. Putting something familiar to cover up with the fact that they're not familiar.
Right.
The invisible beings pulling you and pulling your family out of the room. That shit is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
I am like, I'm closing my eyes as I'm saying it, kind of like replaying your words in my head. And holy shit, man, that's terrifying for me as an adult. That would be absolutely awful as a child.
Yeah. See, I missed that part because I got so focused on some of the other stuff he was saying that resonate with me. Like he was talking about, I believe he was saying about how he's had dreams where lights were searching for him. I've had those dreams.
I have too.
I have where it's about a 3-foot light bar comes in through the window and it starts scanning the room looking for me. Ironically enough, that one night with, you know, she was my girlfriend then, but now wife, but she was woke up to a light coming through the window and we saw a UFO out in the backyard. I also have many occasions of, mostly for me, it's right around when I'm in that in-between state of falling asleep, and I've talked about it several times, I hear a woman saying my name clear as day. Like it'll wake me, boom, instant up, I'm ready to go. What the hell's going on? There was one more. Oh, you were just talking about dreams in general, and I had this I had a couple. I was just telling Steve, I had a couple of really bad dreams of me dying in not very fun ways. But I had this thought, like, we all have these dreams, right, that are just like hyper vivid. Like, there's one in particular. My wife will hear this and she'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to talk about that dream. But we all have those dreams where we wake up and we are utterly convinced it was real for just a short period of time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've had where I've won the lottery or I've,
oh, yeah,
or this or that. I almost, like, what if those are actually fragments from another version of us in a different universe?
Like, an alternate timeline?
Yeah.
Yeah. And those vivid dreams are like,
because you wake
up, you'll dream about
utterly
someone,
convinced.
Yeah, you'll dream about someone from your past and them coming back into your life and like you hit it off, like you never missed a beat, and then you wake up and that alters your mood for the entire fucking day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just sets you off like, man, I thought that was real, but it's not real.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
that bums me the fuck out.
Yeah. Just shut your day down. And going back to some of your other encounters here, like the name calling from the woods, you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said that you lived in rural Missouri in the Ozarks and shit. Dude, that's the name calling from the woods is like Wendigo 101.
You're right.
Like, it's something trying to lure you into the damn woods.
Yeah.
Good thing you didn't go.
Exactly.
And you said the dream about something exploding over San Diego, a craft. I used to have a reoccurring dream of an airplane. Well, I'm assuming it was an airplane. My house is right next to a graveyard. Like, the graveyard is my front yard. But I would always dream that an airliner would explode and crash in the graveyard. But there were never any bodies. I'd hear it. It'd wake me up. It'd rattle the house. I'd go outside. I'd see the fiery wreckage everywhere. I remember going out and seeing luggage and parts of airplane seats and just the white from the airplanes and shit, but there was never any bodies. Like,
that's,
it was just
weird.
An empty plane hit the ground. And I don't know. Now that you said, what if these dreams are just, you know, fragments of memories from an alternate timeline or...
I feel like it's totally possible because we wake up so convinced they're real.
Yeah. And I've had dreams something was in searching for me as well. It wasn't a bar of light, but it was like a ball of light.
Yeah.
It almost had that War of the Worlds feel to it, you know, where they're like just hunting you down.
Yeah.
But man, I don't know. That's wild. We might have, I almost just wanted to call in and just, we can just dive into
it. Yeah, we could do it sometime for sure.
But thank you for taking the time to leave your messages.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
I just keep picturing the invisible things pulling you out of your home and pulling your family out.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and I mean, what if you can't make something familiar, make it not be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I ain't trying to deal with that.
How can you be afraid of something you can't see?
Yeah, I'll be terrified. But we will play our next one.
Hey, name's Chris here. Just wanted to tell you about a story that happened at the beginning of the year. We had I worked for a communications company. I spiked fiber and fiber optics. So I was in downtown Savannah splicing and ended up at this, I guess it's a four-story, I don't know if it's a hospice, something or another for old folks, or maybe even mentally ill, I don't know, but I had this splicing job and I ended up in the basement, which was pretty creepy in there. But the weirdest thing that happened to me, and the whole reason I'm calling, is this was right around the beginning of this year. And let's say downtown Savannah, I was parked on a corner. I had to wheel my equipment into the only spot they would let me take it in. So as I was coming out, I was finished with my job. There was a really tall old man, and he was a lot taller than me. I'm 6 foot, and he was really, really old, and he had some kind of a special uniform on, with like a sort of sash, colored sash. I want to say it was yellow going across his chest. That was part of his uniform. Anyway, he was staring at me the whole time I wheeled all my stuff back to my truck, to my trailer. And I got in my truck, and I was on my laptop finishing up any admin work that I had to do. And all of a sudden, he decides to come walk over, and I was thinking, well, I hope he don't walk over. Trying to get out of here and get this job done. Sorry, I didn't get another phone call to talk. But anyway, he come over, and he started chit-chatting. And he didn't say, hello, how are you doing, or any other kind of greeting a normal person would. He just started talking about fiber optics and light. And I guess he was real interested in what I was doing, and the conversation led to, you know how that works, don't you? And I tried to give him a best idea on how it works. I splice it every day, but I don't know all the theories behind it, and kind of don't care. But anyway, he started talking about it, and I gave my best description of how I thought fiber optics work and this, that, and the other. And he just seemed out of place and just seemed strange. And I didn't see him before. And he started telling me about silicone chips. He just started talking about it out of the blue, which I thought was really weird. And he described how he used to work in a factory. I want to say it was California. And how these silicone chips or the material had to be a certain percentage, this and that and the other. And he was giving me all this information anyway. I kind of forget it all now. But after he got done talking, he just turned around and walked right back across the street. And, you know, it was just a really strange conversation. And then he started talking to, so I didn't get to finish. This is Chris from the last phone call. But, yeah, so he went and started talking to another person who seemed to recognize him. Man, I tell you, this fella seemed out of place, and his mannerisms and just seemed so strange that it had a lasting impact on me. It wasn't long after that I was hearing reports, you know, news feeds and whatnot about chip shortages and this, that, and the other. And there was so I don't know if it was something drawing attention to silicone chips and the shortages and or what it was, or if this fella was even, you know, a real person. It had me thinking that. And anyway, I like a good story, and I just thought that was, I don't even know if it's worthy, but I just thought I'd call in and let you know about it, see what you think. Maybe I'll hear you on air. Love y'all's show. Keep it up. Later.
Well, first off, thanks for calling in. Secondly, everything's worthy on this little podunk show of ours.
We're all in it together, dog.
Yeah. So right out of the gate, well, initially, I'll be honest,
I was going like ghost.
That's kind of what I thought at first. Like, or maybe like a Grim Reaper style situation.
Yeah, him being exceptionally tall. I don't know, but the weird uniform and him being at like the old folks home made me think. The first thing it made me think of like a spirit.
Yeah, spirit or death or whatever. But then the more you got to talking, and he started like it was kind of bizarre that you're like, please don't walk over here, please don't walk over here, please. And then he walks over there.
He's like, you're in it, bud.
Yeah. And then he just starts rambling on, giving you full statistics on what you're doing. And, you know, I got to give you an attaboy. You were like, yeah, I don't give a shit. This is my job. I don't care how it works. I was like, my man. But anyways, so he's giving you all these analytics and just breaking down your career for you. And then he starts going into silicone chips, almost like somebody that would be trying to draw information out of you in a way.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Right? And then, like, my brain went the same place yours did. Like, is this person even human? Because my brain started going Android right out of the gate. Like, I was like, this motherfucker is talking to a robot, and he's about to tell us he talked to a robot.
Yeah.
I know that you didn't figure it out, but I was hoping that was at the end of the story that you were going to go, this motherfucker wasn't human.
And the fact, like, he almost, called the microchip shortage.
Yeah.
Is weird. Like, he didn't come out and say, hey, there's going to be a shortage of silicone chips, but the fact that he brought it up is, dude, I don't know. It's so weird.
You should have asked him what he did for a living prior.
Like, yeah.
What he did for a living.
I don't know, man. And I'm guessing.
And you made it sound like he was old as dirt, too.
Yeah, the weird thing is that he started talking to the another person that seemed to recognize him, I guess. But that could just come across as being friendly, you know? Like,
yeah.
Especially if it was like a nursing home or something, you're going to be like acutely more interactive, I think.
Yeah.
With the elderly.
Well, and but to play to the other side of that conversation, it's also not out of the norm. So, like, if the dude was also in your field, the old man's in your field, and he's old, it's not out of the norm that he wouldn't come talk to you. If he's in the same field. You know, a lot of older guys like to do that. They like to just like reminisce and relate.
Yeah.
So that is a possibility, but it is really strange, especially like for me, the description of him, I just picture like a Robert Wadlow looking motherfucker.
And I'm curious about the uniform with the sash and stuff. Like, that's.
And then you said his mannerisms were off, which we always notice people who aren't from the area because, like you said, like your mannerisms are 100% different than normal people around the area.
Yeah.
So
people are intuitive to that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, for sure.
That stands out.
For sure. But I'm going with Android. That's where I want it to be.
I want him to be a robot, too. Yes. A robot that can predict the future.
So, dude, you were talking to a robot.
Solved it.
That's fucked.
The holophone has solved it again. I just want to say that this is so awesome.
I love
it. I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm like, this is what I want the podcast to be. Like, I want to hear everybody's crazy, scary, just out of this world encounter. Because I feel like everybody has one.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. There's 350 million people in America.
Like, and I love this particular one because he's like, I'm not even sure if it fits with this.
It does.
But I just want you to know that I found this really fucking weird.
Yeah. That's the only criteria we need.
Yeah.
If it sticks out to you like, man, this isn't normal. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
It fits.
And then on top of that, it may not, like, this may not even resonate with us a whole lot, but we talk about it, and maybe somebody else who's listening is like, oh shit, I live in this state, I seen the same motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, I live next to that building.
The story could evolve.
Yeah, I live next to that building, it is legit.
Right, the story could 100% evolve.
I love it.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do Holo Radio, which is going to be great when we just stream it on YouTube and just do a radio show live.
It's going to be called.
That's going to be awesome.
Hollow Sky Radio 2 Wicket.
I love it. I love it. All right, we're going to go into the next one.
Let's roll.
Hi, yes, my name is Julie Bentel. You guys had used my voicemail on the Hollow Sky or Hollow Phone voicemails that you guys just did. which was so sweet. Thank you. And it's all about helping each other. I heard it and thought, this guy sounds afraid. So anyway, if you guys want to know more about mediumship, and I'm also an empath, and kind of runs in our family as well, being a medium, feel free to give me a call back.
Julia, thanks again for chiming back in and touching base with us again. And I just want to say thanks again from the initial holophone episode for your thoughts and you reaching out and just helping other listeners. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
But we will be getting a hold of you, because I am totally interested in the whole empath side of things. I think it'd be cool episode to get into. Maybe we could do an interview or something.
Which, actually, that's kind of relevant, because I just got a text message from a dude that says he's an empath, and he's actually been having the hard time dealing with it and shit like that. He just joined the Discord. I think Kenneth was helping him out a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a pretty heavy text message that he sent. So it actually could be relevant for him and actually help him, because he thinks his daughter is an empath too.
Oh, yeah. I do remember reading that. Yes. Yeah. So we will either shoot you a text message or we will shoot you an email, and maybe we can set up an interview where we can just kind of let you go and tell us about everything. Because, wow, as far as that goes, like, I'm fresh to that whole thing. Same. So I'm here to learn.
Same.
So we appreciate you.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, my name's Jonah. I'm a daily listener to your guys' podcast, and I have a lot of paranormal experiences in my life ever since I was a child and still going on today. And my mother was my stepmother was kind of like, did a lot of black magic, stuff like that, and we used to do seances and stuff like that. So it kind of opened a lot of things in my life. Also as well, I don't know if you want this kind of controversy on your podcast, but I want to talk about how COVID-19 is a sham for more social control, and no one's questioning it. The fact that a doctor gets thousands and thousands of dollars every time he writes COVID on a flip for the reason why they're visiting. You know, my one friend's grandma was doing gardening and she had back pain, and she's old and she's doing gardening, and the doctor said it's COVID-related pain. Like, it's a sham. There's a book in 1990s that there was 5 steps to gain social control, and number 2 was start a fake pandemic. You know, people need to hear the truth. People deserve to hear the truth. And, you know, it's all a sham. You guys want to do an interview kind of style? I have a lot to talk about. So yeah, you get back to me at, I actually just left a message. I forgot to include some things. My name's Jonah. A little bit about my life. I have seen at least 4 UFOs in my life, on top of all the paranormal stuff I left in the last message. But onto the COVID thing, my boss's wife works, I'm pretty sure, at the bio lab. She's like one of the head scientists there, and she's actually worked with the virus to, you know, understand it and stuff like this, you know, stuff like that. And she's even saying it's a complete sham, even though she's not supposed to say it. She's not getting the vaccine. She knows that it's not good. She works in a place where they try to come up with vaccines and cures, and you know, she even tells me and everyone she knows strongly not to get it. Not good. Anyway, yeah. You know, if you want to call me back or shoot me a text message, if you just want me to leave an in-depth voicemail, you know, just let me know. All right. Keep it up, guys. Bye.
Jonah, my guy, thanks so much for calling in. We are definitely interested in your paranormal experiences, like UFOs, like, we're all about it. As far as the whole COVID controversy and COVID issue goes, however you want to see it, when this first popped off, we did an episode or two on it, and then as it has evolved over time, it has become such a hot button issue. Like, we just try to stay away from it, honestly. I know it kind of pops off on the Discord, but sometimes it, you go on any social media and that's all you hear from one side or the other, or just,
it is what we've heard for the past 2 years.
Yeah. And we kind of like having the podcast as like an escape from all of that kind of like,
yeah,
that hot button stuff. So like, we're not, I don't know, like we kind of just try to shy away from it for the most part, you know, because
it's
a
minefield to walk through. I'm not hyper opposed to talking about it, but it's delicate.
Yeah,
it's a delicate situation because
you almost alienate half of your listeners despite what stance you take on.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
So we just try not to put ourselves in a position like that.
For the most part, yeah.
Because that's not what the podcast is about.
No.
You know, we're trying to bring people together. We're not trying to add more separation to a society that's already so fractured that it might never get any better. It might not ever heal itself, you know?
Right.
So, you want to talk about Bigfoot? We're game. You want to talk about UFOs? We're game. We're probably going to hold off on some COVID stuff for a while until everything chills the fuck out again, because it is just...
it is pretty toxic.
Yeah, and there are people fighting people over it and just all kinds of just,
yeah,
out of this world stuff. So
yeah, we kind of, and at the end of the day, like, we both have our own separate beliefs on what COVID is or what it could be. But at the end of the day, our message would always be the same, is if you feel like you need to go get something, go get something. If you don't. Like, your life is your life, homie. Like, and that's the overall message that I would forever want to push with the agenda. And conspiracies in general can be harder to talk about because there's, like Steve said, there's such a big divide.
Yeah, you're
in the country, because a lot of people,
you're setting yourself up to alienate half of your listeners.
Yeah, because like, there's times where me and Steve are talking, and like, even between us, off air, and Steve knows me, like, he sometimes he misperceives that I'm leaning toward one side or the other, and that's never the case with me, because I feel like both sides are the same in this coin. I don't trust anything with .gov. I believe that's just me. Like, and I tend to try to look at things very objectively. And because I have no investment in any team out there, period, the end, except my team.
The Hollow Sky team?
Yeah, that it doesn't bother me to talk about anybody. But some people are... politics is a very delicate topic.
Yeah, it's very emotionally charged.
It is.
So we're not saying it's not important or...
No.
...writing it off, but it's probably something that we won't bring up on the show for right now. Just because it's such a firestorm.
It is a firestorm.
But we do appreciate you, and we appreciate you calling in. So.
Yeah. Right on, man. So we'll get to the next one.
Hey, guys. My name's Tia. I'm from Oregon. And I just wanted to tell you about this creepy thing that happened to my daughter and I when we were in Seattle on Monday, actually. So we had gone to the Green Day concert at the T-Mobile Stadium, and we had taken an Uber there. And leaving the stadium, the Ubers were like $50 plus. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to pay that. So the crowd of people are walking. So we start walking with them, and we're about 3 or 4 blocks away from the venue. And we kind of come across this block that's kind of dirty. There's some homeless people that have been laying around, and we kind of get a little bit separated from the other concert goers, maybe about a block and a half behind. So my daughter and I are walking, and down the side street I see this guy. He's like this white guy, he's bald, And he's like walking towards us. But what was really weird about him is he had this grin on his face, like the biggest grin I've ever seen. And he had like these wild eyes. Now, dude could have just been, you know, a drug addict. We were in Seattle. We were downtown. There was a bunch of homeless. But it was just, this guy's face was so weird. It was like the grin was like bigger than I've ever seen before. And so we're walking, and I am kind of glancing over my shoulder because he gets in behind us. And his footsteps are so loud. It's like he's like stomping, but he's like walking normally. And so I'm glancing back, and I'm looking because I'm like, well, great, we're separated. Is this dude going to mug us? What's going on? So I'm kind of glancing, and he's following us. And my daughter's like not really recognizing anything. Like, she doesn't know that he's there, I guess. And so his footsteps are getting louder, but it's like he's not getting any closer to us, but it just feels like he's just like looming on us. So I kind of grab her elbow, and I'm like, hey, you know, let's catch up with the rest of our group here. So we kind of start walking faster, and we get up next to this. So I pull her elbow, and we kind of walk a little bit faster, and we get up next to this guy and this girl. And I turn around, and I glance over my shoulder, and the guy is just gone, like vanished. Nowhere, and there's nowhere for him to go because it's like this empty street. And so we just, like, continue walking. And we find a bus stop. There's quite a lot of people at the bus stop. So I'm like, all right, fuck this. We're getting an Uber. So we get back to our hotel, and we're making our dinner and stuff. And I ask her, I'm like, well, what'd you think about that dude that was following us? And she's like, what dude? And I'm like, the dude that was with the big smile and that was walking, like, super loud. And she's like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I didn't see any dude. And she's like, when was this? And I'm like, well, remember when we got separated? And she's like, well, yeah. She's like, I thought it was kind of weird that you grabbed my elbow and made me kind of like walk a little bit faster. And I'm like, well, that's because the dude was behind us. So then the next day we get in the car, we're driving home, and we like to listen to spooky podcasts. And the first fucking podcast, I kid you not, this story is about the fucking grinning man. And we both look at each other and we're like, what the fuck is the grinning man? So then we start Googling it, and the picture doesn't really look like this dude because the guy that I saw was a white dude, bald, but the grin is spot on. So I don't know, could have been some weird drugged out homeless dude, could have been the grinning man, but I thought it was really freaking weird, and I just thought that I would share. So that's my story. Stay weird, stay safe.
Tia, thanks so much for calling in and sharing your story with us. First, shout out for being a cool mom for taking your daughter to concerts. That's pretty sick.
Hell yeah.
Hope you guys had a dope time. And yeah, that was immediately what I thought when you started describing it, was the grinning man.
Same.
It was some sort of grinning entity. Like,
honestly, you stole my two explanations. Grinning man / crackhead.
Yeah,
I mean,
could be one and the same sometimes, you know.
Like when you were telling the story, you hadn't quite gotten that far yet, and I was just like, "Yep, I already know where I'm going." And then you're like, "Yeah, I mean, it totally could be a drug head or the grinning man."
But the fact that your daughter didn't see it makes it like takes it to a whole different level of just bizarre.
Crackheads are pretty sneaky.
They are. They can be sneaky, and so I guess apparently so can grinning men. But I also. There is a little sort of synchronicity here. Very specific person that cuts my hair also may have just had a weird encounter with a grinning entity, but that's not my story to tell. So if you want to tell it,
tell it.
Tell it. So I wonder how close these fell on the same days.
Yeah, that is weird.
If there was, maybe there was this crazy uptick of just the grinning entities about the world making themselves known.
But I hope so.
The way that you told the story with the footsteps getting louder, like it just, it's so anxiety inducing. Like,
right.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to deal with a grinning crackhead.
On to the next one.
Hey guys, hope this is the Hollow Sky voicemail. If so, great. If not, and you're listening to this, just ignore it. Anyway, I wanted to share a series of strange dreams I've had over the last 30 to 45 days. The first one started out, I was standing over my bed looking at myself and my wife sleeping, and there was a voice behind me that was very soothing, very comforting. It continued to tell me, let go, follow me, over and over again. Now, when I turned around to see this voice, all I could tell was that it was a female dressed all in white, long blonde flowy hair, but I couldn't make out her face. Well, I had that same exact dream probably 3 days in a row. And then my dream started turning more violent, I guess you could say. I'm standing over myself, watching myself and my wife sleep. And then I leave my house. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I get this overwhelming feeling that I'm causing some kind of death, destruction, mayhem, bodily harm to someone. Now, I don't know who it is. I can't see their face, but I get flash images of me doing these violent acts. Now, I have since been paying close attention to the local news. I've got several friends who are in law enforcement. I've asked them, have you had any crimes of this nature? It's always no. But I wake up the next morning from these dreams, especially the violent ones, and I'm super tired. I'm sore. It's like I just did like a two-a-day at the gym. And in the last couple days, I've had the recurring dream from the very beginning of the overwhelming, calming voice telling me to come with her as I'm watching myself and my wife sleep. And so that's it. Maybe one of you guys can give me a little insight what I'm looking at. I haven't told anybody. Kind of freaks me out a little bit. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not necessarily a religious person. So I've kind of divulged back to the Bible and tried to look up different scriptures. And to be honest, that just completely loses me. So maybe you've got an answer. Anyway, have a great day, guys. Love the podcast. Keep it up.
Oh, man, I don't know if you left your name because I was kind of engrossed in your dreams here.
Same.
I do not know what could possibly be causing these. I know, like, lately people have been having more and more stress-inducing, anxiety-inducing dreams. I don't know if it comes with the state of the world.
It all started at the drop of the pandemic.
Yeah, what society's been doing. I think everybody's just so stressed at everyday life that it's kind of starting to manifest itself into our rest and our dream states. That first part gave me goosebumps. Dog, like,
I didn't like
you talking about the woman where she's just like, let go and come with me.
Nope.
Like,
no sir, no matter where you're looking at, that's not a good thing.
Like, I don't know, man. And
even if it was an angel, it still means that you died.
Waking up so exhausted after having these dreams of causing whatever physical harm you're causing to whoever is just, it's almost, man, I don't even know. It makes me think back to what if it's a lucid dream? You know, what if you're traveling, you're actually in, like, this is actually happening in the dream world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, my first reaction when he said he was watching, I'm like, oh, this is like astral projection. Like, he's venturing outside his body.
Yeah.
But then he started talking about the entity behind him, trying to lure him away. And I'm like, oh, golly, this might have a lot more serious implications than I thought.
And I...
Because that's... And then the fact that you ignore her or whatever, and then you say they start getting violent. That's even worse.
Yeah, man, it's...
I don't have an explanation.
I don't either.
Not even close.
As soon as we listened to this, I started trying to Google what it means to cause physical harm to people in your dreams, and there's all kinds of like dream analysis and all this shit that I'm not privy to that I don't know anything about.
I hope for your sake that it's a trick of the mind. I hope that your body is so stressed in these
that's what I was thinking
in these dreams, because it is possible, because you could be you said your shoulders and stuff are it's possible that you were locking your shoulders up in your sleep, like flexing the muscles,
just tensing up,
which is gonna wear you out. So I hope that it's just a trick of the mind, and they're so vivid to you and so real to you that your body is reacting to it almost like it is real.
A lot of things that I read attribute it to excessive stress and anxiety and frustration, and it playing out in the dream is sort of like your body trying to release it, I guess. I don't know if that sounds like it rings a bell. If you're going through some like exceptionally hard shit, maybe try to cut some of those stressors out if you can, and see if that kind of lulls the violence back a little bit. Because just, I mean, I don't have any idea.
Of all of it though, the part that worries me the most is the fact that she was trying to lure you away from your body and your wife.
Let go. I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Like, if anybody listens to this and is into dreams and dream analysis or even just like how the body reacts to stress and anxiety, and has some tips, some pointers, some direction to give caller.
Well, if you look back at Centerlane,
please let us know.
If you look back at Centerlane, I'm not trying to equate this, but if he is projecting himself onto the astral plane, the things that he experienced in the astral plane, he should technically be able to feel in real life. Because if you remember, I know it's a little pervy, but dude ended up diddling girl.
Yeah.
And they both basically had an orgasm, like, but that was in the astral plane.
Not in the physical plane. I mean,
it was, but it wasn't. Like, her body reacted to what was actually happening on the astral plane. So it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that he's fighting and beating ass in the astral plane and his body's fatiguing.
His body's reacting to it on the physical plane. I don't know.
It's stuff way out of our fucking wheelhouse.
And it's heavy. It is heavy. That's why I'm reaching out, Holoskites, if you have any recommendations to help call her out, please get to us, send us an email or call in and we'll play it. Just
word.
Try to get this dude some solace.
Hell yeah. All right, we're going to go on to our last one of the evening.
Hi, my name is Irene. I'm calling because I've been listening to the Project Mannequin podcast, which I already knew quite a bit about, say about 3 years ago or more. I knew about Project Mannequin, and I just wanted to say that I have perfect relation to that, and I would like, I guess, someone to talk to and add my story onto. I really like your guys' podcast, so I've sent you an email also, I think, through your webpage. The best phone number to reach me at is
Irene. Thank you so much. We cut your recording off a little short because we didn't want any of your personal information getting out, but we are down.
Yeah, for sure. I emailed you back.
Yeah, Kyle shot an email to the email that was linked.
I thought it said Ashley or something like that. Maybe I'm just wrong.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
But either way, I did get the Project Mannequin thing, and as soon as I seen that, I shot an email back. I'm like, if you're dealing with this shit, I want to hear about it.
Yep. So, we're game on. If you want to come on and do an interview, we will set it up. We're kind of spread pretty thin for a while, but we might be able to put something together and make an exception. Kyle, if you don't hear it on here, Kyle will definitely shoot you a text message. Yeah. And we will get in contact because that, I feel like it's a story that needs to get out.
Absolutely.
So that wraps up our Holophone 2.0 episode. Thank you for everybody that called in. This is exactly what we were hoping would happen with this.
Yeah, after the first episode, it popped off pretty hard. Yeah. And I was so excited.
So everybody that has a weird story that this episode falls on your ears, do not be afraid to call the phone. Leave us a voicemail about what you encountered. We will gladly play it and talk about it to the best of our knowledge. We do not have all the answers. We don't even have a lot of the answers. We have maybe two of the answers. But we will talk about it and get your story out there, and hopefully it falls on somebody's ears that can help you process or understand what you have seen, what you felt, what's happened to you. Because that's what this whole podcast is about, is giving people a place to come with these weird experiences and be able to get them out there. And that's exactly what the Holophone is doing.
Yep.
And it is so dope. Like, we haven't even got to the text messages yet.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother different episode.
Yeah, next time we sit down, we'll have to do that if we don't get overwhelmed with voicemails again.
So, we do want to get overwhelmed with voicemails.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Send them. You guys are awesome. Just stay safe, stay weird, and keep the Holophone blowing up.